Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Nancy C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And today is Friday, January 3rd, and we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 69, the first full paragraph, starting with, "We reviewed our own sex conduct," through that paragraph and that paragraph only. And today's readers are, on the text is Tamara C., Benita L. is reading page 164, and Nancy R. is our backup reader today. Thank you all for your services. The reference number for yesterday, January 2nd, the 10 a.m. meeting is 22,048. That's 22048. Our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no positions on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Hanayeta R. from Texas to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Nancy C., for your service. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas, a recovered compulsive overeater. And this is my first time to do service for this meeting. I'm so excited. Okay, number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory. When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. And reading the 12 traditions is Anita L.
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a beautiful Friday, everyone, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the big book. We are on page 69, reading the first full paragraph, and I will ask Tamara C. to get us going. Tamara.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate your service. Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater from Missouri. Okay, so. It says, we reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. So, I learned in steps 4 through 9 how to do inventory. I learned how to inventory my resentments and my fear. On these pages, I learned how to inventory my conduct in relationships. And now I practice them in step 10. And my sponsor encouraged me to use this inventory, not to forget the conduct inventory and just do resentments and fears. And I find that my higher power uses this one to grow me more, even more than the others. There is this miraculous shift in my attitude toward people when I look at the harm that I do. And, you know, nothing's too small. It can seem small to me. And then I take it through this inventory and see that I did hurt someone and I do owe an amend. Perhaps my students, could be my husband, a coworker, or a server at a restaurant. And sometimes I don't see it at the my nightly review, and I go through those questions. Do I owe an apology? And I think, no. Was I kind and loving to everyone? Well, what could I have done better? And when I pause and listen for the answers, I see, okay, I think I can do a conduct inventory here. And my sponsor suggested I start with what did I do and what should I have done? And then I back up and look at where was I selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate. And then I go on to, you know, did I arouse bitterness, jealousy, or suspicion? For me, usually in my relationships, it might be, you know, perhaps bitterness, perhaps suspicion that I don't care about them. And then was I selfish in this relationship? The answer for me is always yes. And then I go on to what's coming up in the next directions. I love the prayers, and I pause and listen, and I'm learning how to show up in my relationships because of this inventory. It's very important to me. And I practice, and I fail, and I make amends, and I grow, and I practice some more. And I will always need this conduct inventory as long as I'm a breathing human being. And I'm grateful for these directions. And I'm grateful that God gave me a sponsor who encourages me to use these directions regularly. And that's what I have to share. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kimmercy. Thanks for kicking us off. So I'm going to be taking a list of names for people who want to share on the May I please remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this topic? Press star one.
What's that?
All right. I heard some really bad background, but Rivka, I heard Rivka R.
Jen A.
Okay, Jen A. I don't know who's getting the feedback here, but Jen, yes. Who else would like to speak?
Jane R.
Jane R.
Vasa O.
Vasa O. And take a few more in this first lineup. All right, we'll get going with this lineup. I've got Rivka R, Jen A, Jane R, and Vasa O. And when you come up to do your pitch, if you would give me the state you are calling from, that would be fantastic. Rivka R, please press star one and share with us.
I think I'm muted now. Okay. Good morning. That's Rivka R. Gratefully recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you, Nancy, for your service and everyone on the line. This paragraph tells me how to have relationships in recovery. And it's no longer pointing the finger at others and hoping that they'll change. It's really pointing the finger clearly at myself so I can change. And I so appreciate all the vulnerable and really honest shares the last few days, you know, that I so related to, because I also used people so I could feel good about myself. And it's very painful when I look at my behavior. You know, combine my desperation to be loved with not knowing how to love or receive love. I mean, I knew how to caretake. I knew romantic infatuation, but I had no clue what real love was all about, and it's not a pretty picture. And even after I got married, and thank God, only by the grace of God, I've been married for 43 years, you know, I had no clue what it meant to live in harmony with another human being. Like, I didn't know how to receive him and value him. I just thought, you know, I'd married the wrong person and I would never have the relationship I wanted, like totally not realizing how I was blocking the relationship that I wanted. And he would say, like, oh, you must love me because you made such a delicious supper. And I would think, no, that's not the reason. I made delicious food because I love to eat. And we would be together intimately, and I would think, no, this is nothing compared to chocolate. And God forbid if he said anything that I took as a criticism. And I, you know, because I took everything personally. I mean, I was sensitive like dynamite is sensitive. You know, I would shut down for days. And I never saw how self-focused and dismissing and controlling and emasculating I was. I thought it was a wonderful life. Like, I only saw how he couldn't give me what I thought I wanted. And, like, our miracle today, our marriage today is really a miracle. Like, having experience going from very self-focused life of, you're not giving me what I need, to a God-focused life of, God is providing what I need, and I'm here to celebrate and accept and value you just as you are, means I get to go from a life of disconnection and disappointment to a life of real connection and real joy and real love. And I'm able to focus on appreciation and gratitude and receiving his magnificence exactly as he is and let go of control and judgment. And guess what? Lo and behold, the connection and love I always thought was lacking between us began to blossom and grow, and we can really enjoy each other. At last week, he said to me, I feel so treasured when I'm with you. I'm like, that takes my breath away. Like, the relationship that God opened up for me and the love I can now give and receive, thank you, God. He took this very myopic girl and gave me the right glasses to see the truth.
And told me, mind her.
Thank you. I'm just so grateful to be in that recovery place today. So have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and I pass.
Thanks, Rivka R. from Maryland. Next up, we have Jen A. from Colorado. Welcome, Jen.
Hey. Hi, Nancy. Thanks so much. Good to hear you moderating this morning. My name is Jen A., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy, and it's this inventory process that keeps me on the right road today. You know, looking at my sex conduct at first was really hard. I'm not going to lie. I was like, ugh, you know. I'm reviewing my own conduct. Me. What have I done to people in the years prior to coming to Overeaters Anonymous? You know, and today, as a recovered woman, I look at the harm that I'm doing currently. You know, I never stop harming people. I'm an addict. I lie, cheat, steal, manipulate, negotiate to get my way. And I'm going to run you over just to make sure I get it. I'm not as bad today as I used to be, but I'm glad that I'm reading this paragraph today. You know, it's asking me about selfish and dishonesty. That's in the other inventory that we spoke about before and in the fear inventory. I look at those things. But the inconsiderate part, I mean, this is a really hard one for me. I was always, you know, disrespectful and careless of the feelings of others. I didn't really care about people. You know, it also talks about jealousy. Have I been jealous of other people? Yeah, I've been totally envious and intolerant and hostile even towards other people. That's how jealousy comes up in me. And I've even done the sex inventory around other females that I've had intimate sexual relationships. I mean, not physically, but I'm just saying, like, there are other females that I've had to look at how my sex conduct is because I try and make them jealous or I'm jealous of them. So I can look at that as well. And then suspicion, I mean, seriously, do I arouse suspicion? Absolutely. I'm always doubting, mistrusting, suspecting that something's wrong. That's me. I'm always trying to read into a situation. And I can believe it. And then bitterness is the last characteristic it talks about in this paragraph that I really have to look at. Because I can get restless and I can have an intense animosity towards somebody. That can be me. So I love the words that it uses. It digs really deep in the sex inventory and asks me where I'm at fault. And what should I have done and said? And my favorite word and line to ask myself is, you know, Jen, how did you hold your hand in the fire in this situation? And then when I put it down on paper, it's so much easier to look at it. I can talk it out with somebody, and I can bitch, moan, and complain with somebody. But when I put this work down on paper, and then I read it back honestly to another person in my fifth step, wow, what a difference that makes for me. And I think my time's up. So easy to remember where the sex inventory is. It's on page 69. That was the easiest thing for me to remember. Ha ha. Right, Auntie? All right. We're not a glum lot. Have an awesome day. See y'all at the birthday party. Peace out.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen A. from Colorado. And next up, we have Jane R. And Jane, before you pitch, I want to remind everyone where we are. We are on page 69, the first full paragraph, starting with, we have reviewed our own conduct. And so I'll be taking another list of names after Vasa O. goes following Jane. Jane, please share where you're calling from and take the floor.
Good morning. My name is Jane. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is my first time sharing on this meeting, so thank you for allowing me to participate in my recovery. I like this paragraph. It looks like this is the second paragraph where the book asks us to look at our own part in our problems. And, you know, it just makes me think of, you know, a little bit earlier in step three where it says, like, our problems were mostly of our own making. And that is just such a relief to me that my problems are of my own making, because when I look back at my sex conduct, you know, I see a lot of things that have been done to me. And you know, we can do these steps, clear up the wreckage of our past, and then stop creating wreckage. And that's just such a beautiful gift to, like, not be able to create wreckage anymore. And, you know, I've cheated on almost everybody I've ever been in a relationship with. And I never thought it was a big deal. I didn't understand why people got upset about it, because I was like, well, you don't even really love me. Like, we don't have a good relationship anyway. So why does it even matter that I cheated? Just like the principle of cheating, you know, is never really, like, resonated with me, like, why it matters. And, but, you know, it's here in the book that, you know, when we arouse jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness, we're creating harm. And I did that with absolutely no thought about the consequences of it. You know, what else I'm going to say? I mean, I appreciate the opportunity to, like, look at my part, and, I'm going to be doing my step five tomorrow. And, you know, I'm hoping that more will be revealed through talking about this with someone and, like, fleshing out, because I just did, like, a checkbox on the columns, like, selfish, dishonest, afraid, and inconsiderate. And I'm hoping that in the fifth step, I'll be able to, like, verbalize specifically what those things were and get more out of it than just the checkboxes. I wrote down more than I thought I would have wrote down, considering I've never really had, I don't think I've had, like, too many relationships. Anyways, I don't know what else I'm going to say, but thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jane R. From Jane, where
Maryland.
Are you from?
Maryland.
Yeah,
Maryland.
All right. Thank you for pressing star one this morning. And next we have Vasa O. from Massachusetts, and then we'll take on a new lineup. Vasa, please
thank
take the
you.
Floor.
Thank you, Nancy, for your service, and good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Florida, Port Charles, Florida. So, I guess this is why they have the sex part. It's a last, you know, the inventory for myself at that time when I was doing my, you know, when I did the fourth and the fifth step. And I kind of dreaded, you know, I said, I don't know if I want to do that. It's just too embarrassing, you know, to tell somebody. And also I felt like, well, I got nothing to tell because I did not have a sex before we got married, in, you know, like in my country, on my belief was, you know, you don't have sex till you got married. But and then I also needed to hear from my sponsor, well, you know, we can talk about the fantasies, the flirtation, you know, we had done over, you know, up to that point. And yes, it was embarrassing to go back. I mean, I remember when I was only 7 years old, I liked this little boy and I flirted with him. And I had like, I went back into, I listed all the people as far as I could remember. There were like 23 people that I had some kind of a contact, fantasy, or flirtation, you know. And it was hard. It really was hard to go through it, but I'm so grateful I did. And each person I took, and I did an inventory with each person, and one of them was Steph Chen. Where was I selfish? I just wanted to have a boyfriend to love me, even if I didn't really like him. And I was probably like 16 years old at that time. What did I want from them and why? I wanted him to love me because it made me feel important. I liked the attention. And then he says, where was I dishonest? I could not tell him the truth because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Where was I inconsiderate? I treated him not very nice. Whom did I hurt by my behavior? I hurt myself because I didn't just, and him, because I didn't deserve, he didn't deserve, and I wanted, I would, true, he didn't, he better, see, I saved him, the stuff, it's falling apart. He deserved to be treated better. Did I unjustly arouse jealousy? Yes, because I was cheating on him with someone else and he found out. Where was I at fault? I wasn't honest about the whole thing. What I should have done instead, not gotten into the not getting into the relationship in first place, to have been more honest and to have trusted and relied on my higher power. Thank you for letting me share my past. And there's a lot more to say.
Thank you, Vasa O from Massachusetts. And we're going to take another lineup to talk about this paragraph on page 69. We reviewed our own sex conduct. And I'll remind you before I take that list that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So who else would like to jump on the line today?
Chris G. in Illinois.
And I heard Chris G, and that's all I heard.
Kathy J. of Illinois.
Kathy J. Got plenty of time for plenty of pitches.
Anne from Florida.
Anne.
Tony B. Scotland.
Tony B, Pete B. All right, let's go from there. We've got Chris G, Kathy J, Ann M, Tony B, and Pete B. And when you get up, if you would give us the state you're calling from, that would be very helpful. Chris G, you have the floor.
Yes, Chris G from Tennessee. I am an overeater. I am a compulsive overeater. And I wanted to share from what I learned from this paragraph. Oh, all the shares were great. I learned from people that share. I learned so much. But what I learned from this paragraph, I tried to do the steps by myself without a sponsor. And when I tried to do the steps by myself, I didn't do it. I didn't do this sex inventory or harm inventory at all. I just skipped it because I didn't see it. When I tried to do the steps by myself without a sponsor, I was, you know, reading the book and I didn't understand a lot of what's in it. So I suggest if you have done the steps without a sponsor, you need to do the steps with a sponsor because I learned so much from my sponsor. And different people sponsor different ways. So if you've done it with a sponsor and you didn't learn anything, you should do it with another sponsor. But there's a lot to be learned from doing a sex inventory and a harm inventory. And so we reviewed our conduct over the years past. There's a lot to be learned from reviewing my conduct over the years past. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chris G. from Tennessee. Next up, we have Kathy J. And Kathy, if you tell us where you are calling from, that would be very helpful. And you have the floor.
Thank you. Thanks for your service and all the good comments. I'm Kathy J., compulsive overeater in Illinois. And, I felt so much better after I did this inventory. And one thing I learned about sex is that the sex and shame led to the bite. I mean, I really felt bad about my sexual conduct and was insecure about having sex because of my weight and just the food got in the way. So when I put the food down, it was 33 years ago I came to OA, and it's been 33 years since I've had any kind of affair or cheating. It was removed because I asked for it to be. But, you know, somebody said, you know, Joe and Charlie talk sex conduct. They say, where is it honest, consensual, considerate, and for the right reason? I was having sex all the wrong reason, and I literally brought God into my sex life with my husband. Literally, I would say, I know this is weird, God, but I'm bringing you in. And I also had an experience with my husband where I did relapse, I became that person again. And meanwhile, he did have an affair. And I've always had a problem with jealousy my whole life and possessiveness. And jealousy doesn't mean love, you know. So what I did was, the more jealous I was, the worse the relationship got and my suspicion, you know, and stuff. So now we've reconciled 5 years ago. I got abstinent again. And, we've been working on our relationship and forgiveness and stuff in the upper steps. It's been miraculous for me. I don't worry about, you know, what he's doing. And he does a lot of stuff to try to reassure me, which is something that never occurred to me. Where have I been selfish? Man, I was selfish about what I ate. I was selfish about my environment. I was selfish about him. And so, honesty, consideration, being a little more selfless and staying out of the food, you know, is the most important thing to keep shame at bay and other resentments and fears. So I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks, everybody. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Kathy J. from Illinois. And next up, we have Ann M. from Florida. Ann, press star one, please. Ann M.
This is Ann from Florida.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We can.
I try to listen to you most every morning. I'm so thankful. I get so much out of listening, and my sponsor told me that I really need to share once in a while, and I am just doing my fourth step columns, and I just had knee replacement, and so I'm in a lot of pain physically. And then to put this on, I thought, God, you really have a sense of humor, because now I'm going back and remembering all of these defects. And it's so wonderful that I am able to recognize that it is not physical, that it is, so much of it is in my mind, of the jealousy and of needing to be loved and manipulating. And even if it never turned physical, it was the whole little dance, two-step dance, and the selfishness of myself in all areas. And it's very rewarding to recognize it and shameful, but I'm not going to live in the shame. I am putting it down on paper and then saying, thank you, God, I recognize it. I don't want to be that person anymore. And then we go forward. Thank you for letting me share.
Hey, thanks, Ann M. from Florida. Thanks for pressing star one. Next up, we have Tony B. from over the pond. Tony, press star one and please share.
Thank you, Nancy. My name is Tony B. I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered for today, thanks to the grace of God, thanks to these wonderful 12 steps and all of you. Yeah, well, I was certainly extremely selfish in my sex conduct. It really was all about me, and I would take hostages, basically not a boyfriend, just somebody who could kind of, well, yes, a boyfriend, but I mean, like, you know, it was just really for my own purposes, just to make me feel safe, to make me feel secure, to make me feel loved and protected. And I didn't know what love was. I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I was unfaithful to my first husband, certainly aroused jealousy and suspicion and bitterness. A lot of remorse there, a lot of shame, you know. And it's okay, you know, because I didn't know much better at the time. And I was trying to survive. You know, I used food to survive, and I used relationships and people to keep alive. And, it, you know, it served its purpose. I kept alive. Hooray! You know, I'm here to tell the tale. And when I came in to program, properly put the food down, properly worked the steps, I began to see all of this, getting it down on paper, looking at it, and knowing what I want, you know, going forward, knowing what's right. And I too bring God into my relationship now, you know, which is my second marriage, which is very different, you know, and I'm so grateful for that second chance, really, at trying again, you know, at doing it better. And I think I can still be selfish and dishonest and inconsiderate within my relationship, but I have a way to work on it, and I do. And I do work on it. And, you know, it's a miracle, really, to have this new chance at doing things differently. Yeah, bringing God in. Thank you for letting me share. I love you all very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. And next up, we have Pete B. And Pete, before you start, let me just remind everyone who might have gotten on late that we are on page 69 in the big book, the first full paragraph, starting with "We reviewed our own sex conduct." And we'll be taking another list of names after Pete shares. Pete, you have the floor.
Thank you, moderator, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, this is if we look at our inventory and we look at the first two aspects of the inventory, our resentments and our fears, those are dealing with our thinking and our thoughts, right? They're not dealing with our behavior, right? And this component of our inventory is dealing specifically with our behavior and how we interact with others, other people, right? And it's so easy to get off course here, because it's very difficult for selfish and self-centered people to figure out what their part is versus another party's part here. And it's very, very easy to take blame and accountability for someone else's feelings and call that inconsiderate or call that dishonest or call that selfish. And we have to be really, really clear and figure out what are we responsible for someone else's feelings? Because any relationship between two people, there's other people, and they have their own set of works and their own set of data, and they're making their own decisions, right? So this is, you know, we have to review our history and look at what's selfish, what's not, what's dishonest, what's not. Am I describing myself in a manner that's inconsistent with who I am? Am I telling you something, or did I tell you something that's untrue about myself, right? That's what we're looking at here, right? It's important also when we're making this list, we're making an exhaustive list of people we have hurt. We're not searching our minds for people I'm planning to make amends to, right? That's a whole nother step. It's something that we're going to look at here, but there's a difference between the word hurt and the word harm, right? Because we can't make amends for hurting someone. You don't get an opportunity to fix your past by apologizing for hurting someone's feeling. That doesn't fix it. That reconciles it, but that's not what we do in the later steps. We make direct amends for harms, and harms are something entirely different. They could include hurt, but they don't have to include hurt, right? So we want to be real specific here on what we're doing, right? It's also going to give us an opportunity to take a look at how we want to be going forward, what our ideal is. And that's the way that we're challenged to carry ourselves going forward in our relationships. Am I disclosing what's necessary to disclose? Because not everything needs to be disclosed. I don't need to put 100% of me out on the table, but am I being misleading, right? Am I making you believe that I'm someone that I am not, right? So it's going to go on to challenge. That's going to warn us that if we continue to do harms, continue to hurt people, well, we'll get to that chapter. We'll get to that paragraph when we get there. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. And so I'm going to take another list of names. We've got time for three or four more shares. So who wants to share today? Press star one.
Lucy B., Florida.
Lucy Darian. B. Darian. Anybody else? Take one more.
Blanca BG.
Blanca.
Did
I hear Vanita?
Vanita L.
All right, let's stop it there. We have Lucy B., Darian K., Blanca, and Vanita. And Lucy B., you have the floor. Please tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lucy B. I'm calling from Florida. And thank you for your service this morning. This is a wonderful conversation. I'm learning a lot. Before recovery, I didn't value myself. I didn't know how to love or take care of myself. And therefore, when I got into relationships, I didn't know how to value other people or love or take care of them in an interdependent way either. So when I get into recovery and I do this inventory and I take a look at my behavior, you know, there is a part of me that was shocked at what I thought was the list of harms I had done to people. The way that I engaged in relationships solely for the purpose of feeling safe. I wanted people to meet the needs that only a higher power can meet. And today in my relationships, after doing this inventory and after really looking at my part, how I can be hurtful, today I understand the difference between what people can give me, what I can share with an individual person, and what I have to go to my higher power to. And for me, that's the difference this inventory makes. that I'm no longer expecting people to be godlike. You know, there's a limit to what I can receive from another individual, and there's a limit to what I can give another individual. And I have to rely on a power greater than myself for the ultimate love and comfort and grace. And when I remember that and I practice that in my relationships, part of what I'm learning from this, I am still learning, then I feel like my recovery takes off and I can feel more whole and valuable in my relationships, and I have a lot more integrity. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy B. from Florida. And next up, we have Darian K. Darian, if you tell us where you're calling from, you have the floor.
Good morning, Nancy. It's Darian K. from the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. Gratefully recovered and so glad to be on the line with all of you. And you know, I too want to thank everybody for being so honest and vulnerable and, you know, just sharing at gut level. That's what this program is about. It's just very precious to me in that way because we're not BSing each other. it's, you know, it's straightforward. And what I was thinking is, and I can imagine many people with a food addiction can relate, is that I took hostages when I was dating and, you know, before I was married. But whoever gave me attention, I was going to marry them and have their children and grow old with them because I couldn't imagine my life without them because they were loving me because for me, even though I was fat and ugly, like that's what I had in my brain and those, that's what went together. Right. So, for way too long because I just didn't think I had any options. I was out of options and that, you know, if they gave me the time of day, that I better hang on tight. And so, you know, I think I missed out on a lot, you know, as a young person. You know, and today when I look at this, you know, in my current situation, you know, sometimes I have trouble. I have trouble in this area, you know, because I do want, So, this is a selfish program, right? I mean, not a selfish program, but a selfish addiction. And so I personally want all the attention, all the admiration, all the, you know, wooing, if you will. And, you know, hey, this is a two-way street. I need to learn to give that out as well and be that person and not get too comfortable, right? We can get too comfortable in a relationship too. And you know, it's a tricky situation. But for today, I need to say this. I feel much better about me and my body and my, you know, my way of just putting myself out in the world. And so I'm just grateful that I don't have to, be embarrassed about my body. I don't have to feel shame. Shame is really what I felt. And am I perfect? No. No, because I don't have the perfect Heidi Klum body. But you know, I'll take what I have at 62, and I will appreciate it. And that's what this program does. It helps me appreciate who I am and what I can be and what I can work toward. And so that's why we stay in this program. Yep, thank you. That's why we stay here, because we have more work to do, and there's more things that are uncovered and discovered. And so I so appreciate everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Darian K. from Massachusetts. Bianca, or Blanca, you have the floor. Press star 1 and please tell us where you're calling from and the initial of your last name. Blanca, press star 1.
I'm sorry, can I be heard?
You can.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, moderator, for taking the meeting. Hello, brothers and sisters in this program. I can just say ditto to everything that everyone has said. I love that line. I didn't take lovers. I took hostages. Absolutely. And, you know, I'll try not to be too long. But, you know, I believe that children learn to love through their parents. That's how, you know, we learn to love. And when that's broken and there isn't any kind of a loving relationship to see or learn from, when one doesn't have an adult around them, the adults around them to tell them what loving and giving and appreciating and honoring another human being is like, then we get lost. And so I was lost through most of my life. When it came to relationships, I had no concept of what a loving relationship, what a treasure and a gift that was. I had no concept of that. All I knew was what I needed. And I was constantly disappointed because I demanded so much from any human being that I was involved with, including friends, not just in romance. But if I had a friend, oh my God, these poor people, you must be this and you must be there for me. And romance and friendships, it was all the same. And that was so unfair. That made me a person who was not allowing others to be who they were. And that's, one can't do that. You can't take away one's freedom and spirits. And that's what I would try to do to people. And of course, ended up alone. Of course, I ended up damaging every relationship I ever had, including by marriage. And now I know differently through being in OA what real love is saying, I love you. And I love you for who you are, and I love the fact that you can be who you are and go where you want, and I still love you. I love you. And you, I love the fact that that I'm able to accept, you know, the freedom of giving, allowing you and accepting you as you are and loving you no matter what. I'm able to have those relationships today in my life. So that was a struggle, and that's been one of the things that was hardest for me in OA, to learn what real love, beauty of real love, and what it can really be, and what it really is supposed to mean. And on that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Blanca BG from Florida. And our last share of the day today is going to be Vanita L. Vanita, please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Vanita L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Georgia. And yeah, I loved all the shares today. I loved when we talk about this topic and when we talk about it more broadly, with not just sexual behavior, but how we might have hurt people. And I know there's people who don't agree with it, but hurt myself. Doing the amends of how I hurt myself and making amends to myself was very powerful to me, because I guess it made me realize that I had a responsibility to myself and that I was valuable and I was worthwhile. And I think most of us probably do the most harm to ourselves, though I did plenty of harm to other people. And, you know, I just walked someone through how to do this inventory last night, and it's fresh in my mind. And, you know, I know there's people, like, there's been animals on these lists, right? Animals that they have hurt maliciously, or, you know, it could even be something you destroyed, you know, to the earth or something like that. So anyway, it's a powerful inventory, and I loved all the honest shares, and I just appreciate vision for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Vanita L., and we've got 1 minute left on the clock if anyone has a burning desire.
This is Gusty N. I'll share.
Okay, you have 30 seconds. You want to take it or you want to wait for the second hour?
No, I'll just take 30 seconds to say this is Gusty N. from West Virginia, and how grateful I am for having done this part of the inventory. If I had not done it, I would not have ended up with the amazing husband that I have now, and the capacity to receive that kind of love. So while it was a challenge to do this inventory, it led to great results. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Gusty N., and thank you for everyone who shared today. Please join us for the second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today's meeting, January 3rd, 2025, 7 a.m. meeting, is 22,050. That's 22050. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Vanita L. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Freely give of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you on.